formation. Hand off Adrian. Spurts up the middle of the five. Bounces off of Buck and into the end zone. Touchdown! A 9-yard touchdown by Adrian Peterson, who's dominating the pewter.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. The Vikings have the Detroit Lions all throughout the Vikings radio network at noon this weekend. And after we're joined by head coach Leslie Frazier, we have an interview with wide receivers coach George Stewart about his stable. We'll run down Kevin Williams, who returns from a two-game respite, and then talk to Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. The show is produced by the Nelsons, Joe and Jay, and we thank them for their assistance as the Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier joins us now. Sorry about the first two games. How you handling it? Everything all right?
Well, hey, we're getting ready to play the Detroit Lions, and we're all looking forward to that. And you have to be able to be resilient in our league. There are going to be some ups and downs, but looking forward to this football game.
You know, there are some cliches that stand the test of time. That's why they're cliches. And one thing around the National Football League you've just heard forever is no matter if you beat the Dallas Cowboys in a playoff game and you're starting to think about New Orleans, by the time noon Monday rolls around, the celebration's done. But conversely, if you lose a tough one like you lost to the Bucks, by the time that team meeting rolls around on Monday, you got to put that behind you, correct?
You really do. Otherwise, it'll carry over to the next ball game, and you can't allow that to happen, and that's what we want to avoid.
It's such an emotional game, too. And, you know, did you find after the Tampa game that a lot of your players indeed were very frustrated and very emotional?
No question. I mean, they care. I mean, they want to win. They work extremely hard to prepare. And, you know, I'd be disappointed if they were not upset that we lost the game. So, but at the same time, you do have to move on, and that's what we've got to be able to do and focus on our next opponent.
Thursday, the final, is it fair to say the final key practice of the week? Because Friday, you know, you do some things to get ready, obviously, for Sunday, but Wednesday and Thursday, are those the most two important practices of the week?
Not necessarily. On Friday, we work some red zone, and you know how important red zone is.
Right.
We go back and revisit short yards, goal line, nickel.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those practices are extremely important.
Now, Percy Harvin did not practice today. Mm-hmm. What's his inclusion for Sunday? What do you think?
Oh, we fully expect him to play. We're looking forward to having him on the field.
And with the way he's been used in not only the passing game but the running game, specifically, you know, some film that I had the privilege to watch with you earlier today on a Kyle Rudolph connection, his first reception in the NFL. I found myself at first blush watching the coach's film with you and seeing Percy Harvin head out to the left with two offensive linemen in front of him, and I'm like, well, that was a nice play by Kyle, but what would have happened if we had thrown it to Percy out there with those two offensive linemen?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of life as a coach when you watch film, right?
Oh, you're exactly right. You see certain things that, you know, we didn't design it that way, but you know what? Let's put that in.
Yeah.
It happens, yeah.
Kevin Williams makes his return this weekend. He's super excited. You're super excited. I know you've answered a million questions about it all week, but it actually, in doing the radio show Monday through Friday, maybe it's because the team is 0-2 and the fans absolutely love the team more than any team in the state. I think it's being short-sold a little bit, the importance of Kevin Williams returning to this game and just what he does for the overall complexion of your defense.
Well, he's a vital cog to our football team, not only our defense. I mean, he's one of our leaders. He's a guy who has a tremendous voice with our football team, and you add to the fact that he's a great player also. So to have him back, it's hard to measure in words what he means to our team. So we're excited that he's back.
From your linebacker standpoint, Leslie, given EJ is your man in the middle, and he and Chad play on nickel, so they play basically every play. With Kevin in the middle, at first blush, you would think it's really going to help EJ to keep bodies off EJ, but actually it's probably going to help Chad more, correct?
It'll help Chad. It'll also help Jared. But, yeah, it'll probably help Chad a little bit more because he ends up lining up with Kevin more often than not. So should help his game also.
What kind of attention does Kevin get on a down-by-down basis when he's going well?
it's rare that he ends up in single block situations like we've gotten over the last 2 weeks. So yep. That alone should help our linebackers, should also help our ends. Usually people have to – he demands a double team.
We've blitzed a lot in the first two games, and we saw that in the six last year when you were the interim coach before you got the job. And if you look back at your track record, you always have liked rushing four, dropping seven, make them think it, pick it off, or knock the ball down. Mm-hmm. When Kevin comes back, is it easier to rush four and drop seven?
It should be. I mean, he's been a guy – from the inside who's rushed and rushed well for us and allowed us to rush with four and get pressure with four. And we'd like to get back to that, and Kevin should allow us to do that.
Which loss of the first two frustrated you most and why, San Diego or Tampa?
They're both frustrating losses. You hate to lose, especially when you know you're as good or better than the teams you're playing, and but you're not executing for whatever reason. And in our case, the second half of ball game. So they both are extremely frustrating.
And you never want to lose, and everybody thinks that you can defend every blade of grass every single minute, and that's what makes up the mental makeup of the NFL and high-level competitive sports. But is there a side of you that looks at it and you're like, you know what, we're not losing these games 34-3. We're not getting killed every game. It's not like we don't have anything with which to work here. Does that help you a little bit?
You know, somebody mentioned that to me, said, man, you know, coach, it could – we could be like they mentioned a team that was blown out this past week, and
I could mention too, yeah, but I won't.
But a loss in our league, it's a loss, yep. And you know, you hate to lose, whether it's 50-0 or 21-22.
Yep.
You just hate to lose. I mean, you work so hard. So, but for us, thank goodness, we have another ball game coming up, and we got to get ready for that game.
Is handling defeat as a head coach more difficult than as a defensive coordinator, or is it the same?
Well, as the head coach, I mean, you're responsible for all facets of the football team. Yep. Whereas when I was the defensive coordinator, it was more about getting our defense to play at a high level. And you're concerned about winning without question, but you can only control your side of the ball. It's a little bit different as the head coach. You've got to have your hands in all areas.
The Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. I'm Paul Allen. It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. We have the Lions this weekend at noon. Network picks up the pregame show at 11, and the flagship FM 100.3 picks it up at 10 from the west side of the Metrodome Plaza. And, you know, if you look at the first two games, which obviously you have, when you have a running back averaging 100-plus yards per game and you're plus one in the take-give, hopefully that number gets better. I think that's probably the thing that astounds me most, mm-hmm. is that you're able to control the clock, run the back mm-hmm. the way you want to, and win the take give where you were minus 11 last year and it absolutely murdered you, yet still 0-2. So if you win those facets of the game over the long term of the season, that's going to bring nothing but good news. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. I mean, that historically has been the case in our league, and it's actually one of those statistics that I share with our team when we came to training camp. So we've got to keep doing what we're doing and just do things a little bit better. And if we do, we're going to be fine.
What qualities does your quarterback, Donovan McNabb, possess that you saw in two of the elite of elite quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, Peyton Manning and Brett Favre?
His ability to shake off a difficult performance. It was evidenced from the San Diego game, coming back and playing in the Tampa game. You saw tremendous improvement. You saw a guy playing with poise and really composed, and that's what you got to have out of a veteran quarterback like Donovan.
Toby Gerhardt looked fantastic. Didn't get many reps last game, but when he ran hard. Shoot, we saw it in the preseason where he just didn't look as eyes wide open as he was all year last year, but the way he set up his blocks on that screen, specifically the Sullivan block, is it difficult trying to figure out how I can use Toby Gerhardt? Guy in front of him is pretty good.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The guy in front of him is maybe, in my mind, the best in the National Football League. So the fine snaps for Toby is not easy, but when we do get him in there, he does a great job every single time. So he's always on the ready, and hopefully we can get him more snaps.
These fans listening right now and watching you on TV, I mean, 65-70% of every television on from noon until 3 in the entire state will be watching your team. They pay money to come see you play at Mall of America Field. They go to the radio shows and TV stuff. They just love the team. Monday, you called out to them at the press conference a little bit, just saying, fans, be patient. We're going to get this exactly where it needs to be. What are some things that you would like fans to be patient with?
Well, we're going to continue to work to improve. I mean, we'll get it done. And I know that's not necessarily what every fan wants to hear. You know, in some ways, You know, I like baseball. I like basketball. I'm a fan of those sports. And in our business, instant gratification is a big deal. But we're working to get it going, and we will get it going.
Leslie Frazier is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. A couple of quickies to close here. Cedric Griffin, when Aurelius Ben got behind him, it's going to happen. I mean, you're a DB. It probably happened to you and probably happened to members of your 85 Bears team, best defense in the history of the game. He seemed to get really depressed after that play, visibly on the sidelines. If you notice something like that, do you chat with these players? Do you talk to them after the game to let them know to try to stay even keeled?
Oh, that's extremely important, in particular at Cedric's position as a corner. I mean, it's going to happen sometimes where you get beat, but you got to bounce back, and he's going to have to bounce back this week. I mean, we're playing against maybe the best wide receiver in the National Football League, so you can't dwell on what happened in Tampa. I got to do what I got to do to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Let's talk about them. Matthew Stafford is not holding the ball. He's getting the ball out very quickly. He's identifying things nicely, but you still got 14 to go, and he hasn't been hit that much. In fact, he hasn't been sacked at all this year. Matthew Stafford, your thoughts?
He's playing extremely well. After coming off a major surgery a year ago, he seems to be a lot more confident, seems to have a better grasp of their offense, and he's doing a great job of leading their football team.
And surface, from a surfacey standpoint, Leslie, when you talk about the Lions' defense, it starts and stops with Ndamukong Suh. Very, very nice player, no doubt. But they've added a couple of guys in Stephen Tulloch from the Titans and Eric Wright from the Cleveland Browns. Again, just two into it. A couple of nice additions.
Yeah, they've done a great job of acquiring some other talent from other teams in free agency. It almost seems as if that's one of the ways they're building through free agency, and they've hit on some guys. So a combination of having high draft picks along with hitting on your free agents gives you a chance to be successful.
Let's close with your team. It was reported earlier in the week that you had some veteran leaders speak to your team Sunday and or Monday. Steve Hutchinson, Jared Allen, Donovan McNabb, you know, some of your veterans with the most equity. What was the point of that? Was it your idea, or did they decide to do it? And Sunday, when you play the Lions, what do you expect to come out of it?
Actually, it was the players' ideas. They wanted to talk to our team, and I mean, these are guys that are well respected by their teammates. Their whole conversation was about not to panic. Those are guys that have been through the wars of the National Football League. You can start off 4-0, lose a couple games, and sometimes people think the sky's falling. They wanted to assure the guys that we have to keep working hard. Things will turn around. Don't panic. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Just work to improve. And I thought it was a great message, and now we got to go out and play well against Detroit, and that's the message, that we've got to step it up and play well this weekend.
That's awesome. Thanks for the conversation. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier in the interview provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. And when we return, wide receivers coach George Stewart talks about his stable, but he also shares a great Terrell Owens story. That's coming up next on Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota.
George Stewart, wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings, one of my very favorite guys on this team from a players or coaching standpoint, and Mr. Stewart joins us now. George, Paul Allen, sorry about the 0-2 start. What's your take on turning this thing around?
Well, PA, we have to go out, and just as Coach Frazier always talked about, we have to be a smart football team, a very physical football team, and a determined football team. I think we can put those three things together, Paul. We will have a chance to be successful.
And we've had a lot of coaching change here. Leslie takes over as head coach with six games to go last year. Fred Puggett, now the full-time defensive coordinator, but you have a new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach, running back coach, and so on. But you stayed and kept your title as wide receivers coach. Are you seeing a lot of new components with the offense, and are you offering suggestions?
Well, we all are, and the thing that helped us really, Paul, was the offseason, you know, with the lockout. We really had a chance to, as a coaching staff on offense, to rhythm up, and that means that we had an opportunity to get together, put a lot of ideas together, and hopefully have a chance those ideas will come to fruition as the course of the season goes.
Have you been involved with teams that got off to 0-2 or slow kind of starts?
Paul, I have. My first year in the NFL coach in 1989, I was with Chuck Noll, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we lost our home opener 51-0 to the Cleveland Browns. We came back the next week and lost to the Cincinnati Bengals 42-9, and we ended up 11-5 football team. We're in the playoffs, had a chance to play in the championship game against Denver, and I tell you what, you know, to start off 0-2, and it seemed like the whole world is falling down, but it's a long season, and our players will respond.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sure you don't like it, but, you know, the team got booed off the field, and you were walking off the field. You watched the game down on the field. Team got booed off the field at the end of the Bucks game, and there are two ways to look at this. One is you don't want to give them reason to boo, but secondly, they genuinely love you, and they love the team, and they really care. Don't you agree?
I agree. Our fans are great fans, and they boo, and of course, that's motivation for the football team to play at a high level, and that's their jobs to boo, and that's their jobs to cheer. And we look forward every week, Paul, to go out and put on a show for our fans, and hopefully you will hear the last of those boos, or hopefully you heard the last of those boos last week.
George, what are some keys to coaching receivers?
The first thing, Paul, you had to have a great mindset in terms of how to handle different personalities. As you know, I've been in this business for a long time, have had several different receivers, but you have to have a great mindset to coach different personalities. Number two, the guys that you work with every day are all different. And by them being different, Paul, there's different things, different buttons you have to push with those players in terms of getting them to play at a high level every week. If it's Bernard Berrien or Percy Harvin, when Sidney Rice was here now, Devin and Roman Shadu, you know, Michael Jenkins. So it's a component of several things, part psychologist, part dad, part teacher, all those things combined to coach those players.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, now calling games for 10 years, I've just seen a lot of players come and go, and with wide receivers and DBs, so for you and for Joe Woods, you guys have different jobs than Carl Dunbar, defensive line, Jeff Davidson, offensive line.
Yes.
I'm not going to put the diva word on receivers or DBs, but they're definitely different personality types.
It's a very transient position, as you talked about. You know, Sidney was here for 4 years, and he's gone. I guess Nate Burleson's here for a while. We'll see him, obviously, this afternoon, and he's gone. So that position changes a lot based on free agency, based on injuries. It's a high-injury position as well because of all the hits those guys take. But we look at it season to season, and hope we can keep our nucleus here for a long time.
Minnesota Vikings wide receivers coach George Stewart is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park throughout the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen. We're going to get individually into these receivers momentarily. But, George, you've worked under a bunch of coaches with experience. What will make Leslie Frazier a good head coach?
The thing that I like about Leslie with experience, number one, is demeanor. It's the same. And when my first job with Chuck Knoll, as I mentioned, we lost the home opener 51-0 to the Cleveland Browns. He came in the locker room after the ball game and said, guys, that only means we can't go undefeated. And that was his mindset. And it wasn't a lot of chairs being thrown or anything like that. And Leslie has that same demeanor, very calm, and our players respond to that. I think Les would do an outstanding job. Of course, you know, it's his first full year being our head coach. But he will grow as a head coach, and I think the thing that will keep him over the top is his demeanor, the way that he communicates with the players, the way that the players respect Leslie Frazier.
What's your take, George, on why we only have scored 3 points in the second halves of games?
I think it's a combination of some things, and we go out in the second half, and of course we haven't played to our level of play. We have not moved the ball. We have not stayed on the field on third down, and we can continue to do that. We probably won't score points in the second half, but I think this will change this weekend, as you will see today, Paul. We're going against a great football team in Detroit. Our guys are ready to go play, and I think we've had a great week of practice.
I know you have huge expectations, George, expectations for all your guys, but specifically for the former rookie of the year, Percy Harvin. How's he coming along?
Percy's progressing well. You know, he's a young man that's been a great slot receiver for us, as you know. He's playing outside right now. He will come in the slot on third down, as our fans know. Percy has progressed extremely well. We're very proud of him because, again, here's a young man that played in college. He was a running back, and he played some receiver, but not very much. So it's been a growing process for him. He's able to read defenses now. He's able to understand what defensive backs are trying to do to him. He understands coverages. So he has grown every year. He had a great rookie year, had an excellent year last year. He led our team in receiving, over 800 yards catching, missing two ball games, so he could have been a 1,000-yard receiver a year ago.
Yep.
But he has grown every day, and he has learned position better and better.
As his position coach, George, are you in favor of Percy returning kicks because it's for the greater good of the team?
Absolutely. You know, Paul, you're talking to those special teams coach. I did that for 11 years in this league.
That's
and
awesome.
I had a young man named Rod Woodson. He's just a Hall of Famer a couple of years ago. And Rod was our starting corner in Pittsburgh. But he was also my kick returner. And he won games for. It's very similar to how Percy won games against San Francisco a few years back.
Yep.
The big kick return for a touchdown that got our team a spark. You saw the opening kickoff of the season this year. So he has those capabilities to be extremely, extremely successful in that area.
Do you have to call, or do coaches have to call on stories like that? Because, I mean, Leslie and Mike Singletary obviously can say, here's the deal. We were on the greatest defense in the history of the National Football League. So trust me here, young man. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's always good, Paul, to have some fallback. And that's one thing about maturity. You do have things you can fall back upon. And some of the players have come to me about that same question. Coach, have you ever started 0-2? Well, absolutely, I have started 0-2. And it's a situation that you can talk about it, but it's another thing about doing it, and our players have to go out and get it done.
Is Bernard Berrien getting open and not being found for whatever the reason?
No, Bernard is getting open. But he is getting open, Paul, as you mentioned. Bernard is doing a super job for us. I know our fans and just the comments about Bernard, but he has done a great job since he's been here. Obviously, he had the big season his first year here.
Yep.
The last couple of years, he's been invisible, so to speak, but Bernard will have a breakout year this year again.
He's a huge key. He's your best downfield threat, I think, and he adjusts to the ball in that single coverage in the deep game as well as anybody.
Exactly. That's one thing Bernard can do is great ball adjustments, great ball skills in terms of the ball is in the air, and like I said, Paul, he would have an outstanding year this year.
What about Michael Jenkins? You were with him in Atlanta and now here. What do you like about him?
The thing I like about Michael, when we drafted Michael in Atlanta, we drafted him as a big target, not a guy that's going to stretch the field vertically, although he can do that, but because we had the DVD backfield in terms of Duckett, Vic and Dunn, we wanted a bigger presence on the perimeter for run blocking. And Mike is an excellent run blocking receiver. You saw it last week in the ball game. He's cleared the path for Adrian. And I tell you what, Michael Jenkins has been everything and more since he's coming here from Atlanta. And we have got great dividends off him so far.
George, when he came to Atlanta, was it a little too big for him in that he's a first-round pick from a big university, got off to a slow start, crowd jumped him, media jumped him, then they bring in Roddy White, then they start running with Michael Turner, you know, and he kind of got lost in the mix.
No, I think what it was, our fans in Atlanta did not understood the reason we drafted Michael Jenkins. And again, he was a big physical run blocking receiver. He catched the football extremely well. That you know, the next year we drafted Roddy White,
yep,
another strong physical run blocking receiver, a two-time state champion in high school as a state wrestler. But Roddy also had the ability to go deep. So we wanted two physical guys in the perimeter. One is able to go deep. One is an intermediate guy. But our fans in Atlanta at that particular point in time when we drafted Michael wanted him to be Randy Moss. And that wasn't our mindset when we drafted him. And they got on the wrong page with Michael Jenkins and forced our fans to get down on Michael. But Michael is an excellent receiver.
George, is Michael frustrated and are you frustrated that he gets off to great starts? Two consecutive games, great starts. TD at San Diego, big third down receptions, and then he gets lost in the shuffle.
I can't speak for Michael, but I do know this. I've known the young man for a number of years, and Michael is a team player. And because of the success he had with the touchdown and the big third down catch, Michael's going to play. If he's called to run block, he's going to do that. If he's called to do a sweep, he's going to do that as well. But Michael is a team player, and that doesn't bother him at all, Paul.
Last question. You were in San Francisco for 7 years. You usually share a good Terrell Owens story with me every year. I've forgotten the last one you share. Share a good T.O. story for us.
Well, the best are the one I can think of right now off the top of my head, that get your popcorn ready. We played Atlanta 1999, I believe, and they jumped out to a 21-0 lead at halftime, and Terrell Owens did not have a catch in the ball game. And he comes out at halftime. He looks at me and said, "Hey, coach, get your popcorn ready." I'm saying, "What?" He said, "Get your popcorn ready because I'm getting ready to put on a show." And I think he had 10 catches for like 192 yards and 4 touchdowns and came back and won the game for us. So that get your popcorn ready came out in Atlanta on the field there in the second half.
You're the best, George. I really appreciate our conversation. Great luck this weekend, man. I really hope you guys win, all right?
Well, PA, we surely appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep, no problem. George Stewart, wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin Williams, defensive tackle on the horizon. Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com at the end. And Buffalo Wild Wings, by the way, is the only place to watch the game. When you're not at the game, play the VIP scratch game and you could win a VIP experience, free wings and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, Kevin Williams on the horizon. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live from Winter Park.
To the fan.
Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network. We thank George Stewart and Leslie Frazier for joining us, and we will preview the Vikings and Lions game coming up this Sunday at noon. A little more in-depth coming up later with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com, but we welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park defensive tackle Kevin Williams, who joins us now. Kevin, officially from the Vikings Radio Network, welcome back. You were missed, and I know you're excited to play this weekend. What excites you most about playing this weekend?
Just being back out there. It's things you put in perspective watching on the sideline, and you really miss the game if you love it. So I definitely love the game, and I want to get out there and help the team win.
When you watch the games while not being able to be at the games, defensively speaking, what did you see? First half and or second half, what are some overview things that you saw with this defense?
The main thing is just finishing up. We've started both games very well and getting after the opposing offense, and it's really just going to be on us to finish out. I think whatever we need to do at halftime, maybe get undressed and start over again, but whatever we need to do, mm-hmm. To feel like the first half and come out and continue to put it on teams in the second half.
Jared Allen's really excited to have you back for multiple reasons. You know, you'll command a certain amount of attention. He'll command a certain amount of attention. And even though Jared plays on the end and you play in the middle, you guys complement each other really well, don't you?
Yeah, we've kind of grown into that the last few years, and I stay on my side and he's on the right side, and we kind of try to meet in the middle. That's the game plan, and hopefully we implement that against Detroit and get it going.
9 years in the league from Oklahoma State by way of Fordyce, Arkansas. What have been some of your fondest memories of your illustrious career in the NFL? You've had a wonderful career.
The run a couple years ago was great, and just all the times we beat Green Bay has been the biggest thing, and then all the offseason stuff is great to, achieve that stuff, but we still working for the ultimate goal and getting to a Super Bowl.
What do we need to know about the Detroit Lions offense from Kevin Williams' perspective?
Stafford, he's the guy. I mean, if you cut the head off the snake, he can't go. So we're going to be getting after him and trying to slow this offense down.
He hasn't been sacked one time this season. Is it the offensive line doing really well? He's obviously not holding the ball too long, correct?
Definitely. He's getting the ball out of his hand very fast, and I mean, you can't take anything away from this offensive line. They're doing enough, to keep the guys off of him, and plus he don't want to get hit anymore, and I don't think he can take a lot of licks. He hadn't played a lot of games in the last few years, so that's going to be a main thing for us, getting to him and disrupting him.
What was difficult for you watching the game off TV? Obviously, you wanted to be there, you wanted to help, but watching it from a fan's perspective, you don't get to see everything that you see with the coach's tape or being in the game. What was difficult for you from that standpoint?
Just kind of not knowing, when you're out there on the field, you're kind of in a flow. You can kind of feel what's coming. You've seen this formation maybe five or six times in the game. You kind of can call the plays out. It was a lot of anticipation for me trying to figure out what they're about to do and can we stop it.
And, it's interesting in that you did get to watch the games on TV, and you get so wrapped up in your defensive film and the opponent's offense. And, then when the Vikings offense goes on the field, you're generally in some kind of meeting, at least for a couple of downs. You really got to appreciate probably how good Adrian Peterson is from watching it from the television version.
Oh, definitely. It was great to see him run and get some of those big yardage plays that he had the first couple of weeks. Hopefully he keeps it up the rest of the year, and who knows how many yards he'll finish with.
Last time I saw you in public in closing was at a Minnesota Lynx game. Are you going to be pulling for the Minnesota Lynx in the Western Conference Finals and subsequently through the WNBA Finals?
Yeah, I'll be pulling for them. It was huge, for those guys to be the number one seed this year, and I just wanted to go show my support. So me and you had a great seats at the game and cheering them on.
Except my friend Scott Erie talked to you every single play, and you weren't able to watch the game, man, but that's what happens when you're an All-Pro,
I know. It was cool. I mean, he was real cool. It was nice talking to him.
Do you have any favorite players on that team?
No, I'm just supporting the team as a whole. I get my family out of the house, and we go check them out. My wife is a former basketball player, so
nice.
It's nice to get out and see the women game.
It's wonderful to see you out in public. It's excellent to have you back this weekend. Oh, by the way, your foot. Everything good with your foot?
Yeah, it's great. Foot felt fine the last couple of days.
Good.
And going to be ready to roll.
Good to see you, man. And best of luck this weekend, okay?
All right, thanks.
Kevin Williams, defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. When we return to the Vikings, we welcome Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com into the Vikings Radio Network conversation. Mike's nice enough to join us at the end of each show to preview the opposition for the weekend and just kind of give us the who, what, where, when, and why of Minnesota Vikings football. Mr. Wabshaw, good evening.
Good evening, PA. How are we doing?
Vikings-Lions, your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, it's a little bit like deja vu. Last week, we talked about playing Tampa Bay, and we talked about that young, talented defensive line, and I think Detroit has one, too. And Ndamukong Suh, Rookie of the Year, really a great interior defensive player for Detroit. Kyle VandenBosch has 2 sacks already this season. He's not young, but he's talented.
Yep.
This is another really good defensive line. Now, Adrian Peterson is getting about 5.8 yards per carry. The Vikings ran the ball well last week against a really good defensive line. I think they can do it this week against a really good defensive line, and I think it's going to be pretty key to this game. Offensively for Detroit, it's Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and watching the tape back of both of Detroit's games, teams do not blitz Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford has been picking them apart. It'll be interesting to see how Fred Pugich and the Vikings defense approaches it.
It'll be interesting to see not only how the Vikings defense approaches Matthew Stafford, but how it approaches Javid Best and some legitimate skill position talent with these Detroit Lions. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point about Stafford and the approach with him, because not only has he not been sacked this year, he's going out of his way on national radio shows to praise his offensive line.
Right.
And, you know, from Jeff Backus over to Hilliard or Gosder, Sherrillis, whoever they're going to use at right tackle, you just don't generally associate great pass protection or really physical play with the Detroit Lions offense, specifically the line. But it just shows you how the culture of football is changing in the Motor City.
Yeah, and I think Stafford's done a good job of getting the ball out, and that's helped him not get sacked, not get hit a lot.
Yep.
Tom Bahaly, the Chiefs defensive end, he had a pretty good game against the Lions, and he went against Jeff Backus most of the day.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't get a sack, but when you have Calvin Johnson, you can throw the ball up a little bit to avoid a sack. You can be a little bit more liberal on how you get rid of the ball. I think Stafford has done a good job of that. I'm not saying this is a terrible offensive line. It's a solid offensive line,
yep.
But there's going to be times for the Vikings to exploit this offensive line. When you have Jared Allen coming off of one edge, Kevin Williams back in the mix in the middle, I think we've seen Phillip Rivers and Josh Freeman be able to step up in the pocket and deliver some throws. If Kevin Williams can get some pass rush up the middle in this defensive line, it's going to force Stafford to move a little bit. And really, when you watch the tape back, he hasn't had to move. He's been comfortable in the pocket. I want to see him face some adversity. Jared Allen had a sack of Josh Freeman the first play of the game last week against Tampa.
Yep.
I want to see if Matthew Stafford can respond to something like that.
It's great that you bring that up, because Matthew's a smart guy. He's a very smart quarterback. He, you know, even though he's been hurt a lot the last X amount of years, and it's been Orlovsky and whoever has replaced him, Sean Hill actually did pretty well for them at the end of the year, beating us and winning 4 in a row, former Viking Sean Hill. Matthew has to know that this environment that he's going to face Sunday at Mall of America Field is dramatically different than anything he's seen this season.
Right.
He had the crowd on his side at Ford Field. They steamrolled Kansas City, and Kansas City's been blown out 2 consecutive games, including once at home. But in the season opener, while we credit you for winning a road game, which is very difficult, Tampa was a 10-win team last year, and they went to Raymond James and won, the Bucs had a hard time selling that game out, and the Tampa fan base with football and baseball is just a little different than it is here. Obviously, Raymond James is not a dome. It's going to be louder, and the fans can really, really make life difficult for Matthew Stafford if they try hard.
Well, we've heard quarterbacks come in here and say, I mean, look at Brett Favre when he came in here before 2009 talking about how difficult it was for him to play and operate his offense in this stadium as a Packer. Donovan McNabb has said the same thing coming into this stadium as an Eagle, even in that playoff game in 2008. They ended up winning.
Yep.
But both of those guys are veterans. As you say, they've been to handling school.
Yep.
They know how to operate offenses in adverse environments, and they have said that this is a tough building to come in and play. And certainly if they admit that it's tough, a young, inexperienced yet, Matthew Stafford is going to find it difficult. Maybe he can respond. He might do a really good job, but maybe he won't either. And the best way to get this crowd into the game is to give them something to cheer about.
Yep.
And Jared Allen did that last week. Unfortunately, we lost that momentum. we got to do it again this week early, get after Stafford.
Michael, I think you definitely hit on the number one single most important facet of the game for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, it's the football's the ultimate team game. So you can say, yeah, but guys, if the offensive line doesn't protect and the quarterback gets hit and the running back can't find holes and this and that and everything, I understand that. But Matthew Stafford, I just can't stress how infrequently he's been hit this year.
Right.
In the game against the Buccaneers down at Raymond James, zero sacks, two pressures, wasn't hit one time.
Right.
I mean, not even the, oh, he got rid of the ball perfectly timed, hit as he throws. And we're certainly not, we're not encouraging any malicious intent here, but Jared Allen is compensated to hit the quarterback. So is Kevin Williams, who comes back. We'll talk about him in a minute. Brian Robinson's off to a good start. Christian Ballard has a little juice to him. Everson Griffin got a sack last week. You got to admit, Matthew's a very smart quarterback. He clearly is the kind of guy who is the first into the meeting, last to leave the meeting, student of the game.
Right.
You know, definitely knows how to spit the play. Plays out in the huddle, checks down, does all the audibles at the right time. But if you hit him and if you sack him, then he starts to think about it a little bit. Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned a lot of defensive linemen in there, and it's important for those guys to get after the quarterback. But I also am curious to see Fred Pugich. That game against Philadelphia last season, coming off of that game, the rub was, well, Fred Pugich called a whole bunch of blitzes. He sent Antoine off the slot, and that is what happened. Are the Vikings going to do that this game? I charted some of Detroit's, or actually both of their games this season. Defenses sent five or more rushers at Matthew Stafford only 15 times in those two games combined, and Tampa only did it twice. Mm. And that's just not a lot. That's 12% of Matthew Stafford's dropbacks. He has seen more than four guys coming at him, and that's a very small amount. Yeah. And I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but one thing I also noticed with the Lions is Matthew Stafford is in the gun. He was in the gun 64% of his snaps. Mm. That makes me wonder, why don't they want him dropping back under center? Is he still inexperienced enough where he's having trouble seeing a lot of that?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on, or what's the deal? Is he just more comfortable out of the shotgun? I thought that was very interesting. I mean, that is a very high rate to be out of the gun, 65%. So maybe he's got some trouble with the blitz. And personally, I would like to see Fred Pugich be aggressive as he was against Philadelphia. I want to see him do that on Sunday. I don't know if that's what will happen.
But you got to be careful with that, because we've blitzed a fair amount the first 2 weeks.
Yes.
I mean, we'll blitz on 3rd and 12, and they'll blitz and bring these guys all the time. And you know, with Calvin Johnson and Titus Young and Nate Burleson and Brandon Pettigrew and Tony Scheffler in the flat and Javid Best all over the place, you just got to be careful where if you do it and you miss, holy,
I agree.
Oh, geez.
I agree with you, and I think you're right about that. But this offense, this Lions offense, has had two very good games. 27 points on the road in Tampa, 48 points at home against Tennessee, and they have not blitzed him. And what I'm saying is, he's killing you anyway. Let's go down swinging.
Yeah. Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Once again, tomorrow, the Friday Football Feast with yours truly and Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com at Buffalo Wild Wings in Champlain from 9 until noon. Join us if at all possible. Get more information on my show page, the Paul Allen show page, at KFAN.com. What are you doing with Vikings.com from a video standpoint and or a writing content standpoint? Point to get people ready for the Lions game?
Well, you know, Wednesday is when we kind of flip the calendar every week. We talk about the game from Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. On Wednesday, we flip the calendar. I just try and give a general preview of our opponent on Wednesdays on the blog, talk about their offense, their defense, who's standing out, who's doing well, where might we be able to attack. On Thursday, we get into press conferences where all the coordinators have their press conferences on Thursdays. We talk about Leslie's and Donovan's press conference from the day before. So that's kind of how my writing goes on the Vikings.com blog every week. From a video perspective, we stream all those press conferences. We stream those live every day. You and I do a keys to the game that we put up on Saturday. Ryan Cardinal and I do a live chat on Sunday during the game.
Nice.
Percy Harvin visited with a Make-A-Wish child last weekend. Mike Harris and the VEN crew did a great job of putting that video up, and they spoke to the child's mother, and she talked about how much it meant to her and her family that Percy and Adrian visited with their son. So just things like that. We try and do do football. We try and do community angles. We try and involve everyone that we can and just give fans an eye on the team, so to speak.
Yeah, there are so many great things that members of this team do off the field.
Yeah.
Brad Madsen and his program and everybody here with the Vikings have just done a terrific philanthropic job over the years to help remind people here, you're public figures. You're compensated very well. You play a kid's game and you're very blessed. Bring those blessings out into the community so that you can make others feel good about themselves. And, yep. You know, I really encourage people to go to Vikings.com and take in that moment with Percy Harvin. Yes. and what took place last week. Just give us a quick 15, 20 second snippet of what people will see.
In that video?
Yes.
It was every Saturday, Brad Madsen has some special guests that he invites to practice with Leslie Frazier's permission. It's something that Brad Childers started a couple years ago. And this past weekend, it was a couple of Make-A-Wish children. One of them had Huntington's disease. And his dream was, or is, to play catch with Percy Harvin. Wow. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Vikings teamed up, and they granted that wish. They had him out to practice last Saturday. And after practice, he literally played catch with Percy Harvin. And Mike Harris, one of our guys here at the Vikings Entertainment Network, was the camera guy, and he captured all of that. He worked on that video, edited that thing up, and put it up this weekend. I mean, good luck watching that and not getting teary-eyed. I mean, it's an incredible story, and to listen to that mother talk about what it meant to her family for Percy and the Vikings to do that is pretty incredible.
3.5 minutes. Let's go hardcore on the Vikings and the Lions with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. Donovan McNabb beating the Detroit Lions in the passing game. How can he do it?
Well, there's been a lot of talk this week about Percy Harvin's snaps and how he was off the field for X percent of the time. I think it was 55% of the time or something.
And just to remind people, we talked about it with Leslie Frazier earlier. Percy Harvin missed practice today. Leslie fully expects him to play Sunday.
Well, and I expect that to happen too. And I'm not saying he's got to play more snaps. That's up for the coaches to decide. But when he's on the field, we got to get him the ball. He's a dynamic playmaker.
Yep.
We've seen Bill Musgrave incorporate him into the running game. Mm-hmm. We've seen him motion out of the slot into the backfield. We've seen him line up in the backfield, hand him the ball. I like that. I like getting him the bubble screen or the smoke screen, a quick pass where we don't have to rely on timing with a new quarterback or route running with Percy Harvin or finding a soft spot in the zone. I mean, Percy can do all those things, but I like getting him the ball early, getting him the ball moving forward. I think that's a really important part of it. And really the other thing is find a way to get Mike Jenkins and Bernard Berrien involved. Yep. I think with Bernard, it's a quick slant.
And keep Michael involved.
Yes. Yeah. It's a quick slant or a comeback route. I mean, Mike Jenkins got some size to him, and I think he's got a large catch radius, and I think Donovan should take advantage of that.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. In closing, Adrian Peterson set a Vikings record last week with his 53rd rushing touchdown, piled on with number 54.
Yep.
He was set to have a really big game. A couple of shoestring tackles might have kept him from like 200 yards. How does Adrian match up against a defense led by not only Ndamukong Suh, but their new middle linebacker, Stephen Tulloch, used to be with the Titans, nice run thumper. And Corey Williams, the defensive tackle who plays next to Ndamukong Suh, I think he's an underrated player. He's a pretty good player. Adrian's a tough stop, though.
Yeah, he is. I mean, and Adrian is a step above even the other elite backs in the NFL. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The way Donovan McNabb in the passing game got off to a slow start against San Diego, what did Tampa Bay do? They came in here, their number one goal was to stop Adrian, and they didn't do it.
Yep.
Adrian ran for 120 yards. So that tells me that Adrian, I'm not going to say he can't be stopped, but you can come in here with that intention, and it's still hard to do. And I think our offensive line is moving people.
Yeah.
I think they're blocking well in the running game. John Sullivan, this line plays better when John Sullivan is healthy and plays. I think Anthony Herrera's got it burning inside of him where he can run block. And Jeff Davidson, the new O-line coach, I mean, hats off to him. He's done a great job because that's an area of our game that struggled last year. This year, we're running at 5.8 yards a carry.
I hope the Vikings win. Obviously, you do too. And we'll chat with you next week when we preview the Kansas City Chiefs as we head back to the road. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, PA.
And thanks to everybody all throughout the Vikings Radio Network for listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Get all the information on your favorite team at Vikings.com. Don't forget about the flagship website, KFAN.com, including my show page where I write about the Minnesota Vikings pretty much every day. That is KFAN.com. It's the Paul Allen show page. We thank the Nelsons for their assistance and production of the radio show. We're talking about Jay with the Vikings and Joe with the flagship KFAN. WFAN. Also, Tom West, Bob Hagan, John Ekstrom, everybody with the Minnesota Vikings organization for assisting us with Vikings Live at Winter Park. And for everybody involved with the show, I'm Paul Allen. Vikings and Lions this weekend at noon, all throughout the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.